Well, good morning, church. I want to start off by welcoming you on this Easter morning. Just a wonderful time, really, for the church in general. And I just want to start off with just really saying, first and foremost, to my Central Christian Church family. You know, Karen and I, we have talked a lot about this, and we just want to let you know, and I think I speak for the church leadership as well, we miss you. We miss being able to gather together. And while we know this is a season, it's still been a hard season. And certainly not being able to gather together on this day feels all that much more strange and difficult and challenging. And yet, at the same time, I'm really grateful for this medium that God has granted to us, that we can continue to gather virtually. We can still gather to hear the word and celebrate. But the fact is, we all know it simply can't replace being together. And so while we lament that, we also look for the time when we'll be able to get together again, because we will. And so we're excited for that. Before I continue on, I also want to just encourage you, if you're part of the church family, share this, even right now on our live stream, share it out so that people can be invited to it, so they can hear, because we really are excited to share the gospel message. And not just for Central Family, but really for my broader church family. For those of you who are part of other churches here within the city of Wichita or around the world, maybe you're joining us because you just want to check things out. You're curious. Maybe it's because your home church doesn't have the ability to do these kinds of online things. Regardless, we are glad that you're here. We're glad that you're present with us, and I want to welcome you here. I also want to welcome those of you who may not be believers. You may not be Christians at all. Maybe the reason you're joining us is because in this season, you're struggling with hope. You're struggling with lots of questions. Maybe you too are just curious. You just want to see what's going on and what this whole thing about Easter is. And we're glad you're here with us as well. And we pray that this morning is an encouragement to you. We pray that this morning might give you some of those encourage some of those answers that you might be looking for. For everybody there, I want to challenge you this. And this may sound like a strange challenge, but I want to challenge you to stick with us all the way through the end of this this sermon and through the worship time. And I know that may sound strange, but it's easy for us to start clicking around on other things, but we believe that God has something for us this morning. And so I want to just encourage you to stick with us all the way through the end. Before I jump into our scripture text that we're going to read this morning, I want to talk really just about Easter and what it is in the first place. I mean, I know for me, this is the first Easter in my life. I have not been with the people of God in a church service, in a church building. And so it's been really, really strange. And yet it's also made me think about, what does this day mean? Or maybe even more practically, what should it mean for all of us? Because I think for a lot of us, it's easy, and I'm guilty of this, just walking through life, going in, and it's a day to dress up, it's a day to be with family, it's a day to celebrate, it's a day to go get some good ham with everybody. And, you know, when all of that's taken away from you, you're really left with the intent of the day, which is a reminder of the glorious reality of Jesus Christ. And in some respects, I think that this might be good for us because it helps us to get back to what the most important part of Easter is, and that what brings us together, whether it's virtually or in our homes or whatever it is, as Christians, it's not a building, it's not the music, it's not that, it's Jesus. And it's this moment, it's the moment of the resurrection, this real moment in history that was witnessed by real people. And we not only believe that it's true, that Jesus has raised from the dead, but for many of us, we've experienced the restoring work of God through Jesus. And so it's a moment to be reminded of that. It's a moment to celebrate that. And so what I want to talk about this morning with us all in our homes or wherever you are, I want to talk about hope. Because at the end of the day, at its core, Easter is really about hope. And I think even more specifically, it's about hope restored. And I want us to, before we get into some specifics, I want us to enter into the story of a very particular man this morning. His name's Thomas. Some of you may know that name. Some of you may not. We don't know a whole lot about Thomas other than the fact that he was one of Jesus' disciples. Thomas was a man who had tied himself to Jesus, and for 3 years he had walked with Jesus. He had seen Jesus do all the miracles that he had done, and at the end of the day, Thomas had put his hopes in Jesus. He had put his hopes in the fact that he believed Jesus was going to bring about something special. I think about the fact we're in 2020, and I think about politics in that sense, that there's people all over our country today that are going to tie their hopes to a candidate, and they're going to throw everything into that. They're believing that they want to walk with that candidate. They believe in that candidate. They believe that candidate can do all kinds of wonderful things. They're tying themselves to this hope that if they get elected, that they're going to change things, right? And I think that this is kind of Thomas. I mean, he's hoping that Jesus brings things about because he's already seen what he's done. He's seen his power. He's seen his wisdom. And Thomas has a hope that Jesus will be the one to bring about healing, that Jesus is going to bring about all of the answers to the questions. And what we experience and what we're going to read this morning is that suddenly all of his hopes, they're completely destroyed. As we talked about last week, I mean, Thomas watched this man that he'd been with for 3 years arrested, beat, scourged, nailed to a tree, die, and then be buried. All of the hopes that Thomas had put in Jesus like seemed to be slipping away. And I imagine for Thomas that his hope turned to despair. It turned to that kind of now what moment. Like, now what do I do? Now where do I go? Now what about all the dreams that I had with Jesus? What do I do with that? Where am I to look to now? And what's going to happen at this point? And right now, how many of you, right where you're at, like you feel what Thomas felt? In a lot of ways, I know that I can. We're in those moments of like, well, now what? Now, what do I do now? I mean, I had all these hopes. I mean, maybe before the coronavirus and all that came about with that, your business, man, your business was killing it. Your job was killing it. And you had plans and you had ideas about what you were going to do and how you were going to make profit and how you were going to build that nest egg. And maybe some of you are going like, now what? Now, it all feels like a waste because today, none of that seems possible. Like, it's all changed, and maybe it doesn't have anything to do with the coronavirus. Maybe you're somebody that had met that guy or girl, and you thought, man, like, this is the one for me. And you put all your hopes into that relationship, thinking, like, this is the one that's going to be the person I live with for the rest of my life, that I have kids with, that I grow old with. And just about when you feel like that's going to come to fruition, the relationship's in. And then suddenly you're going like, now what? Like, what do I do? How does this sorrow come about with when any kind of restoration? Maybe you were going to graduate high school this year and you had dreams of what graduation night would look like and you had hopes about going to college, and maybe now you're going, now what do I do? This whole environment looks different. Maybe you had hopes of a strong body and a long life, and now you're struggling with a disease, not COVID-19. Maybe it's cancer or diabetes, and you're going like now what? Like, my plans have changed, my hopes have changed, my dreams have changed. And listen, for those of you who are listening to this and you don't know Christ, like, this is no different for you. Maybe you've experienced some of these things. Maybe you're in the very moment of this, and maybe you're a lot like this man, Thomas, and that we're going to read about. And you're going, now what? And for you, you're not looking to Jesus because in the reality of it, for you, people don't raise from the dead. No matter how much you wished it was true, like, you don't believe that anybody could ever raise from the dead. And listen, these are only a few of the things that can happen in our lives. But here's why I love Thomas, is because Thomas lets us enter his story. And I think that Thomas is not unlike us. And I don't think we're a whole lot unlike Thomas when it comes to our hopes being dashed. For every one of us that are here listening to this morning, whose hopes have been dashed, whose hopes have been, come to a crashing reality that they're going to not come to fruition. When our sorrow comes as those hopes are dashed, we ask that question, like, what do we do now? This is a massive weight for us. I think we all feel it. You feel it, I feel it. If you haven't felt it yet in your life, like you will someday. And this is where we find Thomas in our text. Jesus is buried, he's dead. And now we come into this story. And so I want you to turn with me to John chapter 20. And we're going to read John chapter 20, verses 24 through 31. But I'm going to stop a couple times and talk about a few things. So before we jump into that, just maybe join me in prayer. Father, we thank you for this morning. We thank you for Easter. And we celebrate it. But before we get to celebrating, I think it's important to remember that many of us feel a lot like Thomas, and maybe we're in that space where we're going, now what? And we feel like our hopes are dashed, and we feel like all of our dreams and plans are not what we thought they would be. And the hope of Easter is that that sorrow can be resurrected and restored to joy because Jesus comes and because Jesus rises. And he is risen. He is risen indeed, as we so often say in the church. And so may we celebrate that. May we be encouraged by that this morning. And we pray these things in your name. Amen. Read with me John chapter 20, verses 24, actually just through 25 to start with. Church, hear the word of the Lord. Now Thomas, one of the 12, called the twin, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see in his hands the marks of the nails, and place my finger into the mark of the nails, and place my hand into his side, I will never believe." Now we have to stop there. I love this part because this is such a real response, isn't it? Like even as believers, like this kind of feeling can creep into our hearts. Like, I will never believe. Like, I just feel like this is all gone away. And I think for those of you who aren't believers, it's easy to say, like, this is all just a hoax. But what I love about this story is you don't put this kind of a response to this kind of event in your proof document, where someone is saying, like, I'm not going to believe this. This is out of this world. This makes no sense. No, people don't raise from the dead. I mean, considering, like, this man was dead, and now these people are saying he's alive. Now, you can tell me all day long, but I don't want to believe that. And I respect Thomas, and frankly, I can understand this doubt. And I think a lot of us can understand this doubt. But for those of us who believe, as we encounter those who don't believe, I think this is also an important lesson for us to see how gentle and kind Jesus responds to Thomas's doubts. Like, he doesn't come in and lecture him. He doesn't come in and berate him and say, man, like, how could you not believe this? And I think sometimes we forget that this is crazy, that Jesus raised from the dead. Now, how would you feel if someone just walked in and told you that someone that they knew had raised from the dead? Like, it rubs against everything that's sensible for us. So even for those who are out there who hear this and say, yeah, like, that's me, absolutely. Like, I just don't believe it. I get it. And even for someone who saw Jesus do miracles, someone who saw him raise others from the dead, even in this moment for Thomas, he wasn't willing to hope that this was true. But I want us to read on because I think that the scripture leads us to some important ideas. So continue on in John chapter 20, verse 26. 8 days later, his disciples were inside again and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands, and put out your hand and place it in my side. Do not disbelieve, but believe." Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." And Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of the disciples, which are not written in this book, but these are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. Thomas, this man full of doubts, all doubts that we can understand, who's carrying the weight of his broken dreams, who's carrying the weight of his broken hopes, sees Jesus in the flesh and his doubts go away. See Jesus in the flesh and doubts go away. Now, I want to pause because some of you may be saying, like, well, I can't see, and so how can I possibly believe? Well, Jesus addresses that. He says, blessed are those who would believe even though they haven't seen. And for those of us, we, as Christians, we believe that Jesus raised from the dead. Not just because we've experienced him, because we've heard from him, because we've been entered into a relationship with him, but because the scriptures tell us that there's many who saw Jesus. And when this was written, Thomas was still alive, and people could have gone and asked him and said, like, Thomas, is this all baloney? And what we know from history is that so many people, the many people that saw Jesus alive, like many of them were brutally murdered and tortured. Now, here's the thing with that. Like, you might say, I know a lot of people who will die for what they think to be true, and maybe that's the case, but nobody dies for what they know to be a lie. And Thomas himself was martyred, and Peter and John and all the disciples, and if they knew that it was a lie, if this moment didn't happen, none of them would have been willing to go through that pain and suffering. And Thomas is one who didn't even believe in the front, but he saw. And he believed, and on the blood and on the blood of the martyrs, the church is built. In other words, they've borne witness to the realities of this event as historical, as real. This wasn't just one man in a cave making up a story. This is many people seeing this and be willing to die for what they would have had to know was a lie. This is our hope. And they did. They believed it. And they've invited us to believe it as well. As if Jesus knows seeing is easier, he tells us, he says that you've believed, Thomas, because you've seen me, but there's going to be a whole lot of people who believe that don't see. And for 2,000 years, millions of people have fallen into this category. I'm in this category. Many of you are in this category. You've believed that Jesus was raised from the dead. And here's the important piece to that. If we believe that, if the disciples believed that, then they also believed that Jesus was unique. They believed that there was no other man that had ever lived or ever will live that's like him. They would have also believed that he died. And he didn't just die for no reason whatsoever, but there was a reason for his death. They would have also had to believe that this life, the one that we're living right now, isn't the end of the story because he isn't here. And he told them, I'm going somewhere else to prepare a place for you, and I'm going to take you there someday. They would have also had to believe that Jesus speaks the truth when he speaks, because nobody else says they're going to raise themselves from the dead and then actually does it. And that's exactly what Jesus did. If Thomas really saw Jesus in the flesh, we have to believe that Jesus' promise to take the wrath of God upon himself so that we would not have to bear that weight is also not only a possibility, but a reality. Because what it means is that the only one who can grant life, who is the Father, who is God, found Jesus' his son's sacrifice acceptable and sufficient. Sufficient for you, sufficient for me, sufficient for your kids in the room. And upon seeing this, in an instant, Thomas's hope was restored. Not in an outcome, but in a man. His hope was now in Jesus. It wasn't in a change of his circumstance, but it was in a living and breathing Jesus. And brothers and sisters, that's where our hope is. It's not in circumstances, it's not in outcomes, it's in Jesus himself, because he's alive and he sits upon the throne. The text goes on to say that believing in him, you would have life. For those of us who have that believe in him, we will have life in his name. Friends, if this statement is true, it means there isn't life to be found anywhere else. We've all tried it. We've all tried to find help and the hope of life in our health, in our success, in our jobs, in rebellion against authority, in our sexuality, in money, in comfort, adventure, adrenaline rushes, alcohol, drugs, tattoos, parties, love, friendship, community, whether you're a gamer or a gothic or part of CrossFit. And what we know to be true, if you've been in them at all, none of them bring life. They all leave our hopes dashed. every one of us who've tried it find that it's not there. It's not in any of those places. We can't find life because it's not in us. Life can only be found in Christ and found in His name. We can't access it because of our rebelliousness. This is what we talked about last week. This is what the cross represents for us. It represents what we rightfully deserve is punishment. And yet it also at the same time represents the love He freely gives to all who would put their trust in Jesus. Through Jesus' bloody death, He paid the price. And by simply trusting in Jesus and His resurrection to be sufficient, we might find the life that we were meant to have, that all of us were meant to have. And all of us who have believed in Jesus, all of us have put our trust in Jesus, we found life. And that's what we celebrate this morning. I celebrate that this morning because my King has taken away from me the weight of my guilt. He has taken away from me the fear of death. He has taken away from me the fear of God. Growing up, you know, I had hopes in finding my safety in my personal works. I mean, I thought maybe I could be good with God by doing the religious things. I had hopes in finding my value in other people and the way that they viewed me. The way girls viewed me, the way my teachers viewed me, even the way my parents viewed me. I had hopes in finding life and wealth and comfort. I had hopes in finding satisfaction in things like pornography. All of which, every one of them, all of those hopes were dashed in one way or another. And all of them led to sorrow and a feeling of being trapped. And many of you know exactly what I'm talking about. But because He lives, I am growing day by day, constantly finding more and more every single day that my safety is not in my works, it is in His grace. My value is found in the one who was willing to die for me, the one who was willing to spill His blood for me, not in this person or that person. My life is found in His will. My satisfaction is found in Him, and I'm finding life. I have found life in this beautiful grace and mercy and the love of a Father who is willing to send His beloved Son to pay my debt so I never would have to, and to lead me into a life in the name of Jesus. This is the resurrection. And my hopes restored are the same as Thomas's hopes restored, and they all rest in a resurrected and risen King, and His name is Jesus. So here's what I want to do this morning that's different. We're going to move into a time of lifting up our voices in song. You may have wondered why we didn't worship, and some of you may not feel comfortable with this, and that's okay. I would still invite you to listen in. I want us as a church, wherever we are, to lift our voices, not to the people around us, but to Him. As one people, a community of brothers and sisters bound not by a building, but by blood and by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And maybe you want to take your computers outside in your driveway and lift your voices up so that the whole world can see you. That's up to you, and encourage that as a testimony to what God has done. And as we do this, I want to invite you, though, to participate, not just by lifting up your voices in song, but I want us as a church to come together, and even right now at your computers, to type out in the comments section what it is that God has restored you from, what He saved you from, what He's delivered you from. Maybe you want to testify to Him delivering you from drugs or alcohol or the love of sex or relationships or friendships, whatever that is, or maybe you just want to testify to the goodness of God in your life. Lord, let us celebrate as a church what God has done for us, and let's make a record for all to see as we testify to the goodness of the risen King. And let us testify not only to one another, that we would encourage one another in our own lives, but let us testify to all of those who might be listening in who don't yet believe in our risen King. And so even right now, begin to write out in those comment sections what God has done for you in just a few sentences while we sing throughout that time. And maybe you write multiple things. I encourage that. What a wonderful thing for us to see the testimonies of the people saved by grace, crying out and praising our King on this day. What better thing to do? If you don't know Christ this morning, stick around and see and read people, real people, testify to the work of an alive, risen King in their lives. Testify and bear witness to His delivering power, to His power of resurrection, not a list of religious rules. That's not what this is about. But a King who died for you, who took your punishment to show His love for you, that He might restore you, that He might take all those hopes and He might restore them and reconcile. He is a saving, transforming, delivering, freedom-giving King. And I would invite you this morning to believe in Him, to believe in Jesus that He raised from the dead. And if you want to do that this morning, I would invite you to pray with me here in just a moment. But then I'd also ask you to do a couple of things. One is you can let us know in the comments, I accepted Christ this morning, and we're going to reach out to you. And we're going to talk about how we can help you engage that. And maybe you want to text us, and there's going to be a number that comes up on your screen, and you can just text connect to that number, and it's going to send you a form, and you can just write out, I want to know more about coming to faith in Jesus. We will call you, we'll email you, we'll reach out to you. But I would invite you to pray this morning with me right now as we lead into a time of worship, accepting Christ, trusting in Christ. There's a better way to put it. Trusting in Him for salvation, believing that He raised from the dead. And as a next step, we're going to encourage you to find a Bible. And I would just encourage you to read the book of John. And if you don't have a Bible, we're going to have a PDF that you can download on our website at ccc.org, specifically under our online services or our house church, ccc.org. And you can download that PDF and you can read the book of John right where you are. So I would invite you to pray. Father, I, in this moment, I put my trust in You. It may be hard for me to believe. It may be hard for me to believe something so fantastic that someone could be raised from the dead, but I want to believe. I believe this morning that You raised from the dead, that You have paid for my sins, and that You have called me into the family of God. I believe, Father, that You are my King, and I believe, Father, that You are Lord, and that You know how to lead me in my life, that You know how to lead me into a way. And so now I lay myself down and I say, I'm Yours. And if you prayed that prayer with me this morning, I would encourage you to go ahead and use one of those other means to contact us. And now I pray this. Church, as we now begin, or here in a moment, raise our voices. Father, hear the voice of Your people. Father, hear our praises, for You are good. You are mighty, You are King. You have delivered, You have transformed, You have freed us from the bondage of sin, darkness, hopelessness, and You have reconciled, most importantly, us to the Lord, to the King, to the Father. And we now can come before You anytime, anywhere, because You are with us and You have promised that nothing can separate us from Your love. And so with that, Father, we now lift our voices up to You. We pray these things in the name of Jesus. Amen.